Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pep Talk, your get-up-and-go fix of the day. Sharky Zartman here, and I am honored to have Dr. Steven Sidoroff with us today. Dr. Sidoroff is an internationally recognized expert in resilience, optimal performance, addiction, neurofeedback, and alternative approaches to stress and mental health. He's an associate professor in the Department of Psychiatry and Biobehavioral Sciences, with a joint appointment in the Department of Rheumatology at UCLA School of Medicine. He is also the author of The Nine Pillars of Resilience, and today he will show us how to live each moment optimally without feeling overwhelmed by stress or helplessness in the face of life's obstacles and demands by harnessing the power of resilience. So welcome, Dr. Sidoroff.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here on your program.
Well, I'm honored to have you on the show today to talk about resilience. It seems like most of us could use a big boost in this area. So
that's definitely the case.
Yeah. So please give us a little backstory as to how you became interested in helping people develop resilience.
Of course. And it really began by recognizing very early in my work and career that no matter what was going on in a person's life, stress was the key factor in how well we handled what we're dealing with in our lives. You can be going along pretty well, but as the stresses mount, your performance actually falls by the wayside. Your coping abilities become stretched, and you feel overwhelmed by life and what's going on in your life. So very early on, I realized I wanted to help people with how they dealt with stress. I also realized in my discussions with physicians that no matter what a patient approached them with, came to their office with, whether it's tension, headaches, gastrointestinal problems, high blood pressure, all of these physical symptoms, sleep problems, were really either caused by or exacerbated by stress. So whether we're talking about physical illness, emotional illness, mental difficulties, cognitive fog, all of these symptoms are really, to a great extent, the result of how we deal or don't deal with the stresses in our lives. And that was a powerful recognition of the impact of stress in our lives. And I think if your listeners really looked at their own experiences, they may recognize that, in fact, this is what's going on in their difficulty falling asleep, in maybe conflicts with others, how stress magnifies our emotional reactions. We become more emotionally reactive when we're under more stress. So that's why I got into the subject of dealing with stress. But, you know, the interesting thing is that we all have a lot of resistance to dealing with stress, even though, you know, people are crying out about it, but we have resistance. And why do we have resistance? One of the reasons we have resistance is that stress isn't just bad, that we actually need a certain level of stress to perform at our best. And let me ask you, if you think about all the successes you've had in your life, I guarantee that almost all of them have been associated with stress. Whether it's giving a performance, whether it's a test, whether it's an important meeting, a deadline that you have to meet, all the things that lead to your success are accompanied by stress. So think about that. Our brain has paired stress with success. And so we're, in fact, biased toward looking for stress in our lives. So we have a lot of difficulty dealing with stress because, to some degree, it's good. And so my goal with people is to help them find that optimal window, that level of stress that enhances their lives, but show them how if they push that level further out, it begins to cause physical symptoms, it begins to cause actually poorer performance, poorer productivity, because that's what happens when we push stress too far into the out of the optimal range.
Right, right. So you're saying that if people could recognize stress as being a positive thing in their lives instead of always being negative, that they'd have more, much more of an ability to manage it?
It's about how our relationship with stress. And so we want to realize that it can help us, it enhances our life, but we have to find that sweet spot. And so that's what's behind my model of resilience. It's finding that sweet spot. I've worked with Olympic athletes, professional athletes, to do exactly that, to help them find that sweet spot so that they perform at their best at the highest level. And everybody has that possibility, is to find that sweet spot.
Right, right. Well, I'm a coach as well and an athlete, and I remember when I was coaching in the national championships with my team, one of my athletes started getting really nervous, and she goes, "Sharky, I don't think I can do this." And she was shaking because the stands were full and everything. And I go, "That's all right, Jamie." I go, "You're just getting ready to perform your best, you know." And that was a good thing to say to her because she went out and played great.
you reframed her situation
right,
in a more positive way that helped her. She was actually beyond that optimal window, and you gave her a reframing that helped to bring it back into that optimal window.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, I can tell you one of the reasons I think why sports is so good for kids is because it's not easy. They're going to go through stress all the time. They're going to get knocked down, and they're going to have to get back up, right?
Yes, and I agree with you. I think sports are a great sort of like it's a playing field. It's play, but yet it's teaching you valuable and powerful lessons of life.
Right, right. You know, but a lot of us feel really overwhelmed by what's happening in our lives, and you know, because we don't have any control over a lot of what we're stressed out about. And so, you know, you can just take just about anything that's going on in today's world, and if people just feel overwhelmed by it because they can't do anything about it. And so how do you help people with that?
Yeah, and in that brief statement you just mentioned, you just brought up, you identified two important issues. One is how people feel overwhelmed, and the other is how people feel a lack of control in their lives. Let me take each of those, because those are two keys that impact most people. One is the feeling of overwhelm, that there's so much that needs to be done. You know, when I ask an audience what's the biggest source of their stress, so many of them don't identify a particular thing. They say it's all the things that I need to do. There's so many things on my plate that I feel overwhelmed, just as you mentioned. And it actually interferes with people wanting to deal with stress because it seems so overwhelming and maybe even impossible. That's why in my approach, in my book, in my approach, I created this notion of the path. And the path is defined by my 9 pillars of resilience. And the notion of the path is that it's there next to you every single day. And if you take a few steps of working on one or another of these 9 pillars, that puts you on the path. And in other words, success is there for you every single day. All you have to do is take a few steps to put you on the path. And this helps people avoid this notion of overwhelm, of all that we need to do in order to finally deal with, cope with stress. And so instead of the goal being way down the road, the goal is next to everybody every day. All you need to do is a couple of things that help you handle stress better, and it puts you on the path. The other thing you mentioned is how we feel that there's so much in our lives that's not within our control. And that's true. And so what happens with most of us is we get worked up by stuff that's not within our control. We hear the news and it upsets us. We hear something that's going on halfway around the world, and you know, we're empathetic beings, and so we react to it and we have frustration about it. In our own lives, we have people who may be friends or relatives who don't listen to us, who we would like them to be a certain way, and they just are going to be the way they want to be, right?
Right.
And so people have to learn not to waste personal energy in this stress response for things that are not within their control. And that's an important lesson for resilience, mm-hmm. is how and where we place the energy that we use during our stress response, because we don't have unlimited energy. And when the brain and body are always making choices. Do I send my energy to my kidney to purify my blood, or do I send it to defend against this person who's not doing what I wish they would be doing?
Mm-hmm.
And literally, our brains and bodies are always making these choices. And every time you make a choice, not consciously, to activate your stress response to some form of danger or upset or discomfort, we're taking it away from the body's ability to literally heal and maintain itself.
Mm-hmm. You know, with what you were talking about things you can and cannot control, a saying came to me, and I used to have this saying up on the wall of my office at the college. I'm sure you've heard it. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. You've heard that before, right?
I've heard it, and I think it's an amazingly powerful and important statement.
Right, right. And so,
and it's saying exactly what I was just saying, is that if there's something going on in your life that you can't control, even though we wish we could, such as say a friend who doesn't, you know, call us back, or doesn't listen to us when we are asking them to hear us, we can get upset and angry and frustrated about that, but it's wasting our energy if we've tried it with them a few times and nothing's made a difference.
Right.
There's a key element of resilience in which we need to let go of the things we don't have control over.
Right.
We need to accept and let go. Accept doesn't mean we like it. Accept just as an acknowledgement and a recognition that I don't have power over this thing, and therefore I can't waste my precious energy trying to make something happen that's not going to happen.
Right, right. And I totally agree with that. What about the role of mindfulness in meditation? Do you find that enhances resilience?
It definitely does, and that's because, you know, we have two branches to our nervous system. The sympathetic that activates
right.
distress, and every time we encounter a danger, a threat, uncertainty, we activate that stress response. And then we have the other component of our nervous system, the parasympathetic, that needs to be engaged in order for the body to recover used resources, in order for the body to go into healing and maintenance. And so think about your day, and you'll recognize that we have many stimuli throughout the day that activate our stress response, but how many stimuli in our day do we have that activate safety and recovery? Right?
Not very much.
No. And so it takes a conscious effort and intention to take some time each day to go into that recovery mode. And that's what mindfulness and meditation do, and other forms of relaxation and biofeedback. If we're activating our stress response throughout our day, we need to find some time to activate the recovery response. And it's not enough just, okay, when I go to sleep, I'm going to recover. In fact, we have a more difficult time getting recovery during our sleep if we don't take time to practice relaxing, because it restores our ability to go into deeper places of calm. So I tell people, you know, it's important to find what I refer to as islands of safety in your day. Times in your day where you can stop and say to yourself, okay, right now, I'm safe. I'm not under attack. There's no demand. I can take 5 or 10 minutes just to let down my guard and go into this recovery mode, practicing a relaxation, a mindfulness, a meditation. But we all need to find some time throughout our days where we stop and say, let me take a breather, let me take a breath, let me take a moment to relax.
Right. We all need that, but very few of us take it, right? So we just go.
Right. And the go keeps the stress response activated. And a while ago, my colleagues and I actually created a term we call autonomic dysregulation syndrome. And that's when we're using and turning on the stress response too much, and we're not giving our bodies the opportunity to recover. And we've suggested that between 70 and 90% of doctor's visits are the result of this autonomic dysregulation syndrome, of the body being thrown out of balance because we're turning the stress response on too much.
Right. Do you think part of that activation of the stress response has to do with all the technology and media in our environment these days?
Well, certainly what that's done is made life much more complicated. There's more going on. There's more knowledge out there, more information out there. We're bombarded with this all the time. Media presents us with what's wrong in the world, the mm-hmm. dangers in the world. All of these things activate the stress response. So, yes, the complexity of our lives, the increasing complexity, creates a certain level of uncertainty in all of us. Am I going to be able to understand all of this? This is very difficult. How am I going to figure this out? All of those are triggers for the stress response.
Right. You know, I was under the impression that technology was supposed to make things easier for us. And
remember we heard that, you know, pretty soon we're going to be in a 4-day work week, right?
Yeah, right.
And people are working more hours now than ever before.
Right. I totally agree. I'll tell you, at the college that I work at, you know, we've switched everything over to online technology, all this, and half the time what we're doing is not working. It's just better just to hand in papers and all that. I'm just sitting there going, oh my gosh, this is stressful.
Yeah, there's this great technology that's going to save us time, but how do you figure out how to use it?
I know. Someone please show me how this thing works. Okay. Well, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, can you share some of the nine pillars with us, your favorite ones? Okay.
Yes, definitely.
You don't have to share them all, but just a few of your favorites, okay?
I will.
Okay. We'll be back with more Pep Talk and Dr. Sidoroff right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharky Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athlete. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharky Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit SharkyZartman.com.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
These shoes are made for walking, jumping, running, and just plain style. Over 32,000 styles. Skechers, an award-winning global leader in lifestyle footwear. And now you can get Skechers without walking, jumping, or running. You can get them by clicking. Scroll down HealthyLife.net homepage and click. You can check out Skechers, high-quality shoes in styles for men, women, and children. So get in style. Get Skechers today and start walking, running, jumping, and strutting in style.
With a little Shark Sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org. Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
Welcome back to Pep Talk. I'm Sharky Zartman here with Dr. Sidoroff, and he is explaining how important resilience is in today's world. So welcome back, Dr. Sidoroff.
He apparently disconnected in the break, and he's calling back now, so just one second.
Oh, okay. Well, we were talking about resilience and with its ability to help us manage stress and how stress is important in our life if we recognize it as not only being negative but also being positive. And so, yeah, and so welcome back, Dr. Sidoroff.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Good to be back. Please don't hang up again.
I rarely use my landline, and I had a little problem with it.
Okay. Well, you're back, and that's what's important. So, you're going to share with us a couple of the pillars of your new book, The Nine Pillars of Resilience. And I know you don't have time to share them all, but just share, your favorites with us. Maybe two or three.
Let me share a couple that I think are foundational within the whole model. So, my fifth pillar is mental balance and mastery.
Okay.
And there are a couple of aspects of mental balance and mastery that are so important in how we approach dealing with stress, resilience, and really optimal functioning in general. And that's having a growth mindset. And a growth mindset simply means that if you notice a shortcoming within yourself, rather than feeling like you're stuck with that, and that's who I am, you say to yourself, okay, how do I improve along this dimension? How do I practice, train myself, get some coaching. How do I, what book should I read to get better at this thing that I don't think at the moment I'm that good at? So
okay.
A growth mindset is so important because it really says to anybody that's listening right now, you're not stuck with where you're at in life, but you have to have an intention to grow and learn and get better. So that would be the first one, and attached to that, within the context of mental balance and mastery, is having a positive mindset. And that means, you know, so many times I hear people say when they begin to approach a situation, that's difficult, or I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. That takes you already down a negative pathway, that whatever it is that you're about to try, it makes it more difficult because you've framed it in a negative way. So, again, you want to, anytime you're engaging in a challenge, you want to embrace the challenge. You want to say, I'm excited about this challenge because it's going to instigate greater learning within me. Again, following that positive mindset. So I would say that's one of the keys to resilience and optimal functioning. It's embracing the challenges of life. You know, many people refer to resilience as the ability to bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that that's wrong.
Oh.
Because when you engage in a stressful activity, when you engage in a challenge, you don't want to bounce back to where you were when you started.
Right.
You want to learn a lesson from that challenge, from that experience, so that, in fact, you bounce forward. You are learning. You are, you know, this brings up my first pillar of resilience, our relationship with ourselves. Because many of us, most of us, have difficulties because of the lessons we've learned in childhood. And they've gone into how we treat ourselves, how we relate to ourselves. So many people can be very critical and judgmental with themselves. And this is my first pillar of resilience, our relationship with ourselves. And you want to have a relationship with yourself that's positive, in which you don't allow any negativity in how you talk to yourself and how you treat yourself. So many of us, when we make a mistake, for example, we'll be hard on ourselves, we'll beat ourselves up. Why did you make that mistake? You shouldn't have made that mistake. And I encourage people, when they make a mistake, to have compassion toward themselves, to be loving toward themselves. If you made a mistake, you're already suffering some consequences of that mistake. Why pile on to yourself and beat yourself up even more for it? When you do that, it actually, some people think that they have to do that to motivate themselves to do it better. And it doesn't work that way. In fact, when you're hard on yourself, when you're critical and judgmental with yourself, you're giving yourself a negative message. You're saying there's something wrong with you, that you did it the way you did when you should have done it better. And that's why coming from a healthy place inside yourself means coming from a place of love, compassion, and acceptance. Being accepting of yourself. And you know, people may say, well, what do you mean? How can I be accepting when I make this mistake? And, you know, like someone will say, I keep misplacing my keys, and I always have difficulty finding my keys. How can I be accepting of that? And I'll say, what you're accepting of is that right now you're so stressed and you're so overwhelmed that you're not present in the moment. And so when you put your keys down, you weren't even aware where you placed them. So, of course, you're not going to know where you placed them, because you weren't present in the moment that you put them down. And so you start in life by being accepting of where you're at, because that's the only place you can be. You know, physics tells us we can't be in two places at the same time. So if I'm at point A, even though I may want to be at point B, it's impossible. So acceptance doesn't mean you like where you're at. It simply means, okay, let me be accepting of myself, because if I'm accepting and loving of myself, that's the best jumping off point for making progress. So those are two very important pillars of my nine pillars: your mindset, your mental approach, and how you treat yourself and your relationship with yourself. You want a positive, loving, accepting relationship with yourself.
How, as parents, can we help our children have a positive relationship with themselves in order to have resilience? Because, you know, it seems like it's either there's no discipline or there's too much. And so what would you suggest parents do to help their children develop resilience?
Right. So this is that's a great question, and I get asked by people this all the time. And, in fact, I've given programs on how to raise resilient children.
Great.
And again, what I was just saying to you is a key. I was talking about our relationship with ourselves and how, as a result of criticism, judgment, and even abusive behavior by our parents, we grow up and feel we're not okay, that there's something wrong with us. And so the keys to raising a resilient child begin with instilling those positive messages about themselves. So it's about being loving, accepting, compassionate, and supportive with your children. That's the key. If you're loving with your child, if you are paying attention to your child, you are giving them the best lesson, the best messages.
Okay. All right. I love that because kids these days, you know, I mean, are all over the place, as we know. We're going to have to take another short break, though, Dr. Sidorov. Okay. So please don't hang up.
Okay. I will.
And I'd like to talk a little bit more about, I see you have a thing called the Mind Room. And you have a resilience assessment and a 6-week step-by-step program. So I'd like to know a little bit about those things when we come back. Are you ready for that?
Certainly.
Okay. We'll be back with more Pep Talk and Dr. Sidorov right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharkey Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athlete. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharkey Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit SharkeyZartman.com.
Attention, Kmart shoppers. Now you get Kmart on HealthyLife.net. Kmart carries over 70,000 items like Martha Stewart's Everyday Products, Apparel by Jaclyn Smith, Joe Boxer, Route 66, Appliances, Jewelry, and more. Everything you need. Plus, you'll get exciting weekly promotions. Go to HealthyLife.net's homepage and click on Kmart, and then you're there. And you even avoided the crowds.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharkey Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully, regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark's survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
I love food, and I love to eat. The cooking and cleaning part, not so much. Then I found a link to the chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page, and I was happy to find all sorts of amazing recipes and tips on cooking, in addition to great chef-quality kitchen equipment and savings as well. Now I look forward to my time in the kitchen thanks to chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
We are back with more Pep Talk. I'm here with Dr. Sidoroff, and we have been discussing resilience and his new book, The Nine Pillars of Resilience, and he's shared a couple of the pillars with us. So welcome back, Dr. Sidoroff.
Thank you. Enjoying our conversation.
Yes, I am too. And so, did you know, I was a student at UCLA, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yes, and I played volleyball there, and yeah, so it's really exciting for me to get to interview you. I feel at home.
I worked with the men's basketball team in the past, and I worked with the women's golf team in the past.
Bill Walton was in my class, and he took a lot of my classes with me, and
nice.
Sorry to hear of his passing, but I was interested. I was on your website, and I found a couple things that I'd like you to elaborate on. One is called the Mind Room. And I know you're a former college handball champion, right?
That's right.
And you specialize in strategies of peak performance in sports. And obviously, I'm involved in sports and coaching and all that. And so I'm curious, what's the Mind Room?
The Mind Room is something that I helped establish with about 18 other sports psychologists around the world. Bruno DeMarcalis was really the key person in that group. He was a sports psychologist at AC Milan and helped them achieve tremendous success. And he set up a Mind Room at AC Milan and then subsequently at Chelsea. And essentially, it integrates peak performance ideas with biofeedback and neurofeedback. So biofeedback is a way of monitoring a person's physiology and literally training their physiology into an optimal state. So in the Mind Room, we integrate peak performance concepts like cognitive approaches, ways of focusing and things like that with this biofeedback physiological monitoring, so we really make it a mind-body connecting process.
Wow, that sounds really, really interesting. I love the biofeedback part of that, because most people aren't even aware of what's going on in their body, right? That they can't control
right.
it if and they knew, right?
That's right. And biofeedback is such a fantastic, useful tool. And now people can get biofeedback sensors that can monitor their physiology for like about $200. And we actually have a lot of wearables, different types of devices that people are wearing that pick up some of their physiology. So it's a beautiful window into yourself that helps you improve.
Wow. Are you familiar with the company SmartFit? Because I know they're integrating movement with mindset.
Yeah, I'm familiar with them. I haven't worked with their device. I've worked with other devices, but there are a whole bunch of them out there right now.
Right.
That help you tune into what's going on in your body.
Right. But, you know, because most people don't realize that there is such a strong mind-body connection. I mean, you really can't get away from that. We're not just using our mind one time and, you know, they really are integrative. And most people don't realize how strong that connection is, right?
Definitely. And, for example, you know, one of the things that this technology can show us is what happens in our physiology when we're in different emotional states. And, for example, if you're in a positive emotional state, an emotional state of gratitude and appreciation, and you looked at your heart rate variability pattern, this is just looking at heart rate, you see a very, what's referred to as a coherent heart rate pattern, in which heart rate goes up as you breathe in and heart rate goes down as you breathe out. And when you're in this heart rate variability pattern, you actually enhance your body's healing ability. But if you look at the heart rate pattern when you are frustrated, when you're angry in a negative emotional state, you look at that same heart rate and it's chaotic. It's random. It's all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we can see how our emotional state literally translates into either good or bad physiological states.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty amazing. And when I was at UCLA, I minored in psychology, and I remember one of the things I remember learning was about the placebo effect. That was amazing that they were doing all kinds of studies back then on people getting better because of their mindset.
The placebo, we can think of the placebo effect really as our belief system.
Right. Okay.
When you have your belief system can literally alter your physiology.
Yes.
If you believe something's possible, you're going to have one type of physiological reaction. And if you think something is not possible, you have a different physiological reaction. But it also affects your behavior. If you think something's positive, something is possible, you're going to go for it. You're going to go after it much more enthusiastically than if you have a belief system that says, well, I don't know if this is possible.
Right, right. No, I totally, you know, and just so impressed with some of these things that they're talking about in terms of mind-body response. It's just amazing to me. And
yes, and I've tried to harness all of these within my, and I've distilled them down into my 9 pillars so that as you go through my book, you go step by step through an approach that actually addresses all of these different mind-body connections, the emotional connection, the physical connection, and the mental connection.
Right, right. Also, you have a resilience assessment on your website. And you also have a 6-week step-by-step program. Now, we don't have time to talk about that because we're almost out of time. And so that's something that somebody can go to your website to check out. So what is your website?
The website is drstephensideroff.com. And the resilience assessment booklet contains a questionnaire. And people can take this questionnaire. They can self-score, and they can get their resilience profile so they can see which of the 9 pillars are their areas of strength and which are the ones they need further development.
Okay. All right.
Always a good starting point.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Sideroff. I think I could talk to you all day. So
well,
I'll have to have you back.
It's been a pleasure. You've asked great questions, and, yeah, people can learn more on my website, a lot of articles, but the best approach is to get my book, which really helps guide people into a better emotional, physical, and mental state.
Okay, and I assume it's on Amazon, right?
It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores as well.
Okay, thanks again for joining us today, and best of luck to you, Dr. Sideroff.
Thank you. My pleasure. Enjoy
it. We'll be back with more Pep Talk and Shark to Heart right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharky Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athlete. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover
how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharky Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit SharkyZartman.com.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to Bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
If you like to spend your television viewing time learning about some of the things that you may have missed in history class, or if history was your favorite subject, then you should check out the link to the History Channel on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. Order DVD sets by series or by subject matter right from our homepage while you still enjoy your favorite HealthyLife.net show.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
Welcome back to Pep Talk. It's time for Shark to Heart. And yay, June is here. And so we're getting ready for summer. I just finished up my spring semester at the college. And I am ready for summer after 16 weeks. But boy, I'll tell you. I love teaching. I really love teaching as full time for a long time at the college and then switched to part time. And right now I'm just teaching yoga, which I really, really enjoy. And I am the only one there that's actually teaching yoga face to face. Most of our other instructors have gotten so used to teaching online because of the COVID epidemic that they don't want to move from their desks at home. They just want to stay on their computer and get paid to teach. And so I like getting out there. I like meeting the students. I like having them in a nice environment. I try to set up the room with candles and soft music and get them, you know, in an environment and also with a group where they're all trying yoga, and a lot of them for the first time. And we just spent the last part of the show, most of the show, talking to Dr. Sidorov about the stress response. And I have to tell you, I always test my students at the beginning and at the end of the semester. We have to, different assessments to see how they improve. And the number one improvement is usually in the stress symptomology assessment. And stress, as Dr. Sidorov said, with the mind-body connection, can cause all sorts of physical symptoms and ailments and everything. And at the start of the semester, we have a scale, and most of my students are in the very, very high stress symptomology area. By the end of the semester, I had every single student improve in that assessment. And you know, so if you're experiencing a lot of stress and you haven't tried yoga yet, I am seeing, you know, huge positive results in the classes that I teach. And it's just a regular yoga class. I mean, it's just yoga for health and fitness. And so, yeah, I believe it relieves stress. It gets people away from the maddening crowd. I tell them, just leave all your stuff outside. When you come in, it's just about you. And I don't let them use their phones. You know, we usually have an hour practicing different asanas, flows, pranayama, breathing practices. And, yeah, and so I'm always feel so great at the end just seeing most of the students improving in that area. And most of them want to continue to do the yoga because, you know, they felt so good and ended up loving it. So anyway, I'm going to be back in the fall. I keep saying I'm not going back, you know, but I keep going back because, you know, again, I just love teaching it and I love working with students face to face. And for the first time in almost 4 years, my husband and I are taking a major vacation. Since COVID, we've mostly stayed close to home, but at the end of this month, we are on our way to Tahiti! Woohoo! And so, one of my colleagues at the college, he and his wife were asking me about Tahiti. My husband and I have been there twice, and we always said that we want to go back, and so we told him about the places we went and some of the things we did. And I go, well, do you want to come with us? And we really couldn't afford it, but I said, sure. So I called our vacation planner, and yes, and so we are going. Now, we end up doing a cruise, and I know a lot of people don't like cruises, but we found this one ship. It's called the Paul Gauguin, and it's a small ship. And you can just leave all your stuff on the ship. They take you to all the islands. You can do excursions. And it's really nice because you don't have to pay for anything once you're on the ship. Everything's prepaid. And so you don't have to bring cash. You don't have to bring anything. And so we love that part of it because the ship is very comfortable. It's beautiful. And the people treat you so nice. I mean, it's just amazing. Now, the islands, it's just a 7-day cruise, so it's not, you know, really long. But we visit 6 different islands. And my favorite one is Bora Bora. It's just beautiful there. It's just beautiful there. And the things that we like to do when we visit the islands, there's all kinds of excursions. There's a private Motu, which is a private island that actually this company owns. And you spend the day on the island, and they have a big picnic for everybody. And my husband loves to snorkel. And so we always do the snorkeling excursions. But the one that we're going to do again with our friends, they've never done this before. It's called the Shark Ray Adventure. Now, believe it or not, they actually take you to this place where there are sharks and stingrays in the water. And yes, you go in the water with them. When the boat goes up, now it's on a the area that's kind of shallow. I guess you call that a reef, and and you can see them swimming in the water. They go, okay, go in. First time I did it, I go, you must be kidding. You must be kidding. And people are going in, and obviously they have a person in there that's a leader, and And so I remember my first time going in, I was so scared. I was so scared, and especially to be with the sharks because they weren't small sharks. I mean, my name is Sharky. My dad named me after a shark, but I've never been in the water with them. And so, but after about 10 minutes, I realized that the sharks really don't care about you. I mean, they've already fed them, so they just swim past you like you're an annoyance to them. You know, they just kind of ignore you. And every once in a while, they'll bump into you like they want to bump you over. But, so after a while, they weren't a problem. It's the stingrays. The stingrays love you. They want to come up and wrap themselves around you. I couldn't believe it. I mean, they just want to hug you. And, you know, I had no idea that was going to happen. And our leader goes, oh, yeah, they're just really friendly. You know, you can pet him. He's petting this thing, you know, and just, okay. And so anyway, yeah, we're going to do that again. with our friends. And so, yeah, I don't know if they're looking forward to it or if they're scared of it, but we will be doing that. And the hardest part of the trip, as far as I'm concerned, is getting there and getting home. I'll tell you, these days traveling is a challenge, but I'm ready for it. My husband's ready for it. My friends are ready for it. And so we are going. We're going to be spending the 4th of July in Tahiti. And we'll be back to wrap it up right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharky Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athletes. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharky Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit SharkyZartman.com.
With so many wonderful authors appearing as guests on HealthyLife.net, you can easily support their work by browsing the Barnes & Noble link on our advertiser page. Browse for books, or even an ebook, DVDs, movies, music, games, gift cards, and more. Find the Barnes & Noble link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Pep it up with positive energy power right here on HealthyLife.net.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Pep Talk, and to my wonderful guest, Dr. Steven Sidaroff. So check out his website and get his book, The 9 Pillars of Resilience. Until next time, I'm Sharky Zartman, and here's to your inner shark.